Reverend Parrish, associate ministers, members of the diaconate, members and friends, good morning. I would like to share two expressions of thanks with you that have been sent to the church. Your thoughtfulness is a reflection of God's love. Reverend Parrish, First Lady, and my church family, with a humble and prayerful thank you, I acknowledge with deep appreciation the many acts of kindness during my hospital stay and recovery at home. I am grateful for your visits, phone calls, the many, many cards, birthday, and get well. Most of all, your prayers. May God continue to bless each of you. Please continue to pray for me. A heartfelt thank you, Sister Carolyn Richardson. Some people give because they simply think they should. But when you give, I always know it comes from someplace good. Kindness comes straight from your heart. It's just a part of you, and I'm so very thankful for the thoughtful things you do. Thank you for thinking of our family during this difficult time. We are humbled and grateful. Your thoughtfulness is a gift we will always treasure. Minister Don and Jean Manet. Two announcements which are not in your bulletin. This is a continuing notice regarding our recreation ministry, which will resume workout classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays in Building 3. The hours will be between 5:30 to 6:45. Workouts will vary from walking outside, Zumba fitness, aerobics, and even chair exercises. All ages are welcome. And the first introductory session will be Thursday, February 28th at 5:30 in Building 3. You will have the opportunity to sign up, ask questions, and experience a brief workout session. Points of contact, Stephen Griffin, Anna Griffin, Carolyn Gibson, and Fernanda Kane. Again, that's Thursday, the 28th at 5:30 in Building 3. And marking our calendars for June, the Soapbox Derby is coming back. And the Recreation Ministry is seeking drivers for this year's Spotsylvania Soapbox Derby. Shiloh sponsored drivers must register through the Recreation Ministry. We have three youth drivers. We have slots for three youth drivers. All drivers must be at least 7 years old. Deadline to contact the Recreation Ministry for applications is March 4. The dates there, please review the dates below to check availability. This is a family commitment. I believe additional notices will be in the lobby so that you can check the dates that I just made reference to. Again, it is June 2nd. And the deadline to register is March 4. I would now direct your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. We are closing out Black History Month. There is an insert in the bulletin. We have a guest speaker today. Reverend Lawrence Davies will be with us this afternoon at 1. Then we have a soul food dinner, and our theme has been Black Migrations. And Deacon Milner has provided excellent presentations each Sunday regarding Black migrations. And again, we're closing out Black History Month with an afternoon service and a soul food dinner. We're also in preparation for Vacation Bible School. There's an insert in your bulletin. If you can help, these are the areas of need. You are not doing the job alone. It is usually a team of three. So if you sign up, you will have assistance. Also in our bulletin, another means of contacting the membership during inclement weather or emergency situations, if you would like to provide an email address so that you might be contacted directly, there is an insert in the bulletin to do so. From our Sunday school ministry, the theme and daily readings for next week's lessons, the deadline for the next newsletter, the trustees for the remainder of the month. From our security ministry, please take note of the pews that you're sitting in. They are color-coded. If there is an emergency, we need to leave the sanctuary. The colors are on the corner of the pew and also near the hymnal. There is a placard which tells you which door you would exit through based on the color coding. From our Christian Education Ministry, there is still a need for someone to facilitate the new members' orientation classes. Your points of contact are listed. Also, there is one of four scholarships for Mary Virginia Jackson Scholarship. The deadline is April 19. There's also a scholarship available through the Minister's Wives and Minister's Widows Alliance. That's two of the four. The other two is the Walker Grant Alumni Association and the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. So there are four scholarships available. Missionary Ministry, in collaboration with the Women and Men's Ministries, collecting toiletries, and that date is through the 24th, which is today. The Publications Ministry is still in need of an assistant to help with the bulletins for Sunday and other afternoon services. And as a community note, the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association meets tomorrow at 7:30 at Emmanuel AME Church on Chatham Heights Road. In our bulletin, our known sick and shut-in, always adding to that list, the bereaved families of our church and community. The bereaved families are noted in the lower right corner of that list. Correspondence from our sister churches. Mount Tabor Baptist Church in Milford has extended an invitation to their Usher Ministry Annual Day next Sunday at 3. Zion Grove Baptist Church extended an invitation to their Missionary Day March 10 at 3, Zion Grove in Woodford. Shiloh Oldsite extends an invitation to their Usher Ministry Annual Day, March 10 at 3. Mount Tabor has an Health Awareness Day, March 16 at 11. That is in Milford. Mount Olive Baptist Church in Stafford has a Deacons, Deaconess, and Trustee Day, March 17 at 3. And Macedonia Baptist Church in Woodford, an Usher Annual Day service, March 17 at 3. And again, there are four scholarships available: Walker Grant Alumni, Minister's Wives and Minister's Widows, Mary Jackson, and the Delta Sigma Theta. Thank you for your attention.
Good morning, Church Family and Visiting Saints. Today in Black History, I'll be talking about school integration and the Little Rock Nine. Okay. When the Supreme Court issued that landmark decision that integration was legal in 1954, 3 years later, the Arkansas NAACP decided to put that ruling to a test. So they set out a plan to integrate the schools of Little Rock, Arkansas. So they carefully selected these students. They wanted students that were strong academically, but also mentally and psychologically tough, so they could withstand the harassment that they would face. So they got these nine students, three boys and six girls. So, and the governor of Arkansas, Orville Faubus, he was aware of that. So when the students showed up on the first day of school, the governor of Arkansas sent out the National Guard to block them from entering the building. So the students didn't get in that first time. So the NAACP took them to court. And the court directed the National Guard to step aside, and they did. Then the court ordered the Little Rock Police Department to escort these nine students to school. So the police escorting these nine students. There's a huge mob of white people outside yelling and screaming and yelling epithets. So the police, they turned back. Students didn't get in. So the next day, President Eisenhower sent in the United States Army, the 101st Airborne, better known as the Screaming Eagles. They came in, 101st Airborne, took over the National Guard, escorted the students into the school, and they patrolled that school for the entire school year. And the students, they endured harassment along the way, to say it mildly, but they persevered. And when the first of the students graduated, Martin Luther King attended his graduation ceremonies. And all of the Little Rock Nine went on to become successful in their chosen careers. Then in 1999, 42 years later, President Clinton awarded each of the Little Rock Nine the Congressional Gold Medal, which is the highest medal that can be awarded to a civilian. And the irony is that 42 years earlier, an Arkansas governor had blocked them from integrating the school. And then 42 years later, another former Arkansas governor has given them an award for integrating the school. So things have come full circle. And today, eight of the Little Rock Nine are still living. One of them died about 10 years ago. He had retired after working for the Defense Department for 27 years, and he died a few years after retirement. And that's the story of the Little Rock Nine, three boys and six girls who, with sheer courage and determination, reinforced by the United States Army and magnified by the grace of God, were on the vanguard of the school integration movement as they successfully integrated the public schools of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
We once again bless the Lord for our opportunity to gather here at this branch of Zion in order that we might be able to lift up the name of Jesus. We do want to thank Sister Wilson for the reading of all the announcements. We ask that you keep these announcements in mind. They're extremely important for the ongoing ministries here at this branch of Zion. We do want to thank Deacon Milner for bringing us the information on Black history. And we would be remiss if we did not share with all of us our link to Black history also here in this congregation. And I was reminded once again this morning on television when Channel 4 lifted up Sister West for her contribution to the My Salvation, the GPS system. Stand up, Sister Oglesby. This is Sister West's daughter. Now, her mother's a very meek and very petite, young-looking young lady. But the mentality of her to sit down and put together the intricate parts of the GPS system to keep me out of the woods. Y'all may not know that's a big thing, but GPS is running this country right now. And her mother was instrumental in bringing that to pass. And not too often do we have that opportunity to be able to say thank you to her daughter, that she gonna tell mom again that we recognize her in service today. And we thank God for her family. Amen. From the high note to the note of concern, I love everybody in this congregation. Love y'all. Love you dearly. Bring back the hand truck. Amen. No one else needs to know what I'm talking about, but somebody here needs to know what I'm talking about. Bring back the hand truck to the church. We need it. Amen. Like I say, if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. But somebody does. Amen. 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 We bless God. We talk about Black history, and we talk about it in such a way that that's over with, over and done. We've gone through it, and now we can get back to business. But the business about Black history should continue
throughout the year.
Not just throughout the year. It should continue, period. Amen. Too many of us, and I'm not talking about our youth, I'm talking about us. Amen. We're not aware of the contributions that we have, nor are we aware of the Black presence throughout Scripture from Genesis on. We look at the Bible and we see a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Savior everywhere. But yet when we go back to Genesis and begin from Genesis, where this whole humanity began, it began in a structure that we call Africa. So you need to study God's word from the beginning and understand the black presence throughout scripture. It just doesn't go back to Christ. It goes all the way back to a young man by the name of Adam, a young lady by the name of Eve, all the way back, and then trace it from Genesis up till now. And you'll find out that you have an extremely important part in the formation of humankind.
Amen.
So don't just put yourself as secondary. Put yourselves right there at the very top. We are a very gifted people. So don't think you're second class to anyone. God is great. And he's great through us.
That's right.
In all that we do.
Amen.
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 Amen. See you at 1 o'clock after this worship experience. We're going to fellowship some more. But don't put black history on the shelf until next February. Amen. Get into the word and study and learn more about it. Our choir is going to bless us. Amen.